Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio live today from Roost Pub and Kitchen in downtown Limited, part of the Bardea Restaurant Group. And speaking of Roost Pub and Kitchen, Hugh, we just got our lunch, which you ordered during our last segment.
Yes.
It is. The food here is incredible.
The mini glizzies, gone.
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 Break those things up.
Break them up. You got to break them up. Yeah, the mini glizzies. They called the mini glizzies. And the mini hot dog, but the mini glizzies. What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good.
Jason, good to have you, man. Lunch Hour with Jason Avant, sponsored by Walnut Street Smiles at Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Dudat Dental Group, official dentist of the Philadelphia Eagles. Jason, how you doing this week, man?
I'm doing good, Joe. Good to hear from you guys. Hugh, sorry I couldn't be there. Had a miscommunication there.
Yeah, that's on Steiny. It's all good.
We're gonna
browbeat him when we get a chance.
He's on the hot seat.
But shout out to Steiny. Steiny does a great job, man, of doing all the stuff that he does for us, especially down here in Delaware. Yeah, but he dropped the ball on this one.
Yeah, it happens. It's good though. It's kind of like the Eagles. It's not perfect, but we're gonna win anyway. And the Eagles are winning anyway. Jason, when you watch that game Sunday night, what really? And I know where you're on your side of the ball and where you play, but what stood out to you? How dominant the defense was and what they did to that Lions offense, which was coming in averaging over 31 points a game, or how difficult it is for us to move the football?
No, I have to go with the positive. I thought that the defensive line played out of their mind, rattled Jared Goff the entire time. He saw ghosts for most of the night. He missed a wide open touchdown throw because Jalen Phillips won so fast along with Jalen Carter. They were getting pressure. And even when they didn't get to him, he was, you know, flustered, stuttering with his feet. And I thought that was the biggest part of the game. Now, they have some explosive players. And so going against that is so hard when you have Jahmyr Gibbs and you have J-Mo out there. It's hard. But when you get the defensive line playing the way that they did, I thought it was outstanding. I'm talking about all members of the defensive line played really well.
Well, they were great. And to, you know, it's one thing to do it a couple weeks ago. We talked about the Packers, right? The Packers are talented, but they're up and down. And there's, you know, at times they can't move the football even though they have talent. That wasn't the Lions, Jason. I mean, the Lions had come in off one of their best games of the season in Washington. I know Washington is a good defense, but they were coming in off a really good game. All the explosion you're talking about. Jason, it was the first time watching this year's defense that I was like, it kind of reminds me of last year. I mean, did you feel that watching? Because I never thought all this season they were really close to that level. But the last 2 weeks, especially this Lions game, it kind of reminded me of last year's defense.
Just a shout out to a few players. Like you have Jalen Phillips and what he was able to do against Penei Sewell, who's a lot of people already consider him for the Hall of Fame, and he is not even, you know, in his, you know, sixth, seventh year at all. So like to do that against Penei Sewell, win off the edge pretty consistently, you know what Jalen Carter is. But N'Kobe Dean implemented back against the Vikings. No one has, you know, gone over, you know, 100 yards rushing since he's been back. And then to see what he was doing in coverage, isolated one time with Jahmyr Gibbs down the field, isolated with Jamison Williams one time down the field, and then the ruckus that he brings when he blitzes and also diagnosing runs. So that kind of solidifies the middle of your defense. Yes, and the Lions are an explosive offense. I thought that the win played a key on both passing games, but when it came to just protecting the passer, Jared Goff was uncomfortable. They were able to stop the run game. And then Adoree Jackson, after getting beat with the touchdown, played aggressively for the first time this year and was not afraid to get run by and made some critical plays down the stretch. You had that what Quinion's doing, didn't give up a reception to his side. I thought it was, you know, a great job by him.
You know what, Jason, I'm curious. The beginning of the game, you know, we're still speculating recklessly about – was the ball forced to AJ and things of that nature. To me, it looked like, you know, that there could have been a little bit of that. How did you see that first half and them trying to feed AJ Brown the football? How did you see it?
I don't necessarily know if it was a forcing of the ball. I just thought that that's the way you should try to get him the ball. You saw, like, him, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. We call that a wide receiver slide where you go behind the line of scrimmage. Those are things that you should have been doing at the beginning of the year. So maybe on that particular player, so, yeah, you may say that. But AJ had a lot of opportunities in this particular game, and that's what you want. Now, I will say this, is that the Detroit Lions had a great game plan against AJ and the route concepts of the Philadelphia Eagles in general, and yeah, they tried to get him the ball, but I thought that Detroit Lions were prepared for it. And to be honest, the receivers lost their one-on-ones, not just AJ, but Devontae too. The receivers as a whole lost their one-on-one battles against, you know, Amik Robinson and Rock Ya-Sin. They lost that pretty much the entire day.
Jason, how much of that do you was the weather part of that? Do you think there were some slipping the last two games with some of the linemen? Do you think that affected – how much did it affect the passing game on both sides? Because, you know, we're really up right now on the defense. We're obviously down on the offense. The last two games were difficult conditions to play in with cold and obviously this past Sunday night a lot of wind. How much do you think that affected both the good we saw with the Eagles defense and the bad we saw with the offense?
Huge. Like, so this game, like, for me, I really kind of throw this passing game out of the window when you have like 30 mile per hour gusts and then 15 mile per hour wind pretty much the entire game. It's hard, and I know people don't want to hear this, but it's harder to play in wind for a passing game than it is for rain. And so when it's windy, that ball dies a lot. It moves left, right, up and down, and you don't know when it's happened, you know, when it's going to happen. And so that's why Jalen Hurts was off as much as he was, with missing Saquon down the field, some throws here and there, and both players were missing like routine throws. That's what happened. Now, I will say, to start that game, Jalen Hurts was really sharp. His first four passes were right on the money. Two of them were drops. The other was just, you know, just didn't happen. But I thought that he played, you know, good to start, and that his percentage would have been higher if they would have caught those passes at the beginning of the game.
Jason, do you feel, I mean, we've got 10 weeks of this sample. Do you feel that there's still room for this offense to grow?
Oh, yeah, a lot of growth. And you see, and you're starting to see that it switched. And here's the dilemma. There has to be more creative play calling. I'm starting to see the offense be more aggressive. Now they have to be more great. And when I say aggressive, yeah, you can see it when they call a deep cross on their own goal line, right, from the 3 or 4 yard line. And then that's when Jahan Dotson ended up getting a scramble for a big gainer. Like, they're starting to be more aggressive in the play calling. Now they just need more creativity. So I think that there is a lot to gain. And I think Kevin Petullo is actually growing as the season gets. And we got to remember that he's a first time. He's dealing with Jalen. And it's going to take time to get creative. And when I say that, think about this. When you think about creative play calling, you're asking 2 and 3 man receiver concepts to be close to each other and help each other get open, right? Defenders are closer to each other, so that takes a different level of processing for a quarterback. If you're looking at Stafford and what he does, it looks like very confusing until he throws the ball and then it opens up. So it takes a different level of confidence in your quarterback, and as the season goes on, he's going to start to trust Jalen in that way, and Jalen's going to be able to pick up those concepts as well.
Well, we certainly hope for that. Jason Avant with us for the lunch hour here on the Midday Show. Jason, we want to get your take on this, and you could come at this from whatever perspective you want, just maybe what you're hearing. But then there's also the why is this coming out, and you know, what does that mean for the organization and the team and morale? Let's play it for you. A couple days ago, you probably heard or saw the quotes, but Derek Gunn on his postgame show with Seth Joyner about how there's some frustration within the team about Jalen Hurts. Let's hear Derek Gunn on his postgame show a couple nights ago.
I'm just basically telling you, there's a lot of people in that organization that are frustrated with the quarterback situation right now, but the quarterback understands he has them over a barrel. This is almost Carson Wentz part two. They're not going to eat this kind of money yet. There's no way they're going to eat this kind of money. Look at the cap hit they took when they got rid of Carson. And look, it took them a couple of years to get back on solid ground again, footing, because they were handcuffed financially because of what they owed in the cap hit they took with Carson Wentz. You got the same scenario here with a bigger volume of money involved here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, Jason, when you heard that, what's your reaction? I mean, it might all be, you know, real, like they're frustrated with him, and that's why Derek's here. And I don't understand why this is coming out now at 8-2. It feels like it's totally unproductive for whoever that is to be leaking that to a reporter as the team's trying to win a back-to-back Super Bowl.
Back-to-back.
Yeah, you don't like that, dude. Do you hear squirm? Like, you don't know what's real and what isn't. Like, have I heard that? I've heard that multiple times, but that doesn't mean that it's true. And you don't know if there is, like, some type of quarrel with a person that doesn't like Jalen or, like, there's a lot of politics and there's a lot of positioning that can happen in an organization when this much money is involved, right? So that could be some of that. So it's all like, you know, subject to someone's ears. We don't really know. So I don't know how to take that at all. I will say that no one has come to Jalen's defense when it comes to what A.J. Brown has said in the media. Normally you have a guy come out and say, hey, you know what? I totally disagree with A.J. He needs to do blah, 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 as from a player perspective. And nobody, they've just gone around that. So there could be some truth to what D-Gun is saying.
Jason Avant with us here for the lunch hour. We are live at Roos Pub and Kitchen, downtown Wilmington, part of the Bardea Restaurant Group. Come on out and have lunch. The food here is incredible. The atmosphere is awesome. Come on out and hang out with us down in Wilmington. All right, Jason, so you mentioned there, you know, the Jalen part. When you watch him throughout now 10 games, and I know the last game, talking about the win and throwing it out, how would you assess Jalen so far this season? To me, I view it a lot like last year. Now, there's issues with the run game that weren't there last year. There's issues with the offensive line that wasn't there last year. There's issues with AJ maybe not having the separation ability as we saw in the past. But Jalen looks a lot like he did last year to me. How do you view the way Jalen is playing so far this season?
It's game by game. Some games, like I say, this game, I thought Jalen started the game out really good. I thought that the wind played a factor in some of his throws. I thought that for the most part, only with the exception of two plays that he didn't, you know, that he got confused by the defense or didn't get the ball out. I only counted two plays this game. So I thought this game overall, he played winning under the circumstances. But you go game by game, I think that there is a lot of yardage that's left out there because of being on the wrong side of the field or not giving guys a chance. And so he did that this game, right? So you see A.J. Brown or Devontae after the Packers game, he says, you know, when he catches the touchdown, you know, just throw the ball up. And that's usually an indication that they've communicated to the quarterback that, hey, man, throw the ball up. And then they get the same cover four that they got from Packers game to the Lions game, and he throws the ball up to A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown stops running. Like, so there's you know, wrong and right on both parties, on all sides, the offensive line, the quarterback, the receivers, the offensive coordinator. There's a lot of blame for everyone, and I don't think that Jalen should take all of it.
You know what? Speaking of Jalen, because I'm curious of how you see it, Jason, is because there's been a lot said about Jalen's growth as a quarterback. And, you know, you talk about him being in his fifth year. Have you seen the type of growth from him that you would need from a person in that position? You know, like you know, you talk about like a Tom Brady or Justin Herbert this year, like he's grown, you know, being in offense with Coach Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. So have you – is this growth that Jalen has, do you think it's substantial enough for it to be sustained in the NFL? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, so I think you always got to think of Jalen. Like, so there's times where you see Jalen take huge, like, leaps. And then this year is kind of a step back. But I'm viewing it as like the stock market where it goes up and then it comes down a little bit, but it's going to go back up. That's the way I view it. So overall in his career, he's grown by leaps and bounds. Is it to the place that everyone wants or what we anticipate? No, it's not at that point yet. But I think that has to do with the lack of cohesiveness when it comes to the new offensive coordinator all the time. So you have those aspects of the game, but there's things that you see that's like scratching your head sometimes where you're like, dude, you know, there's opportunities out there for you to be on the right side of the play. Like, he threw one to Kyle Granderson down the sideline. Oh, no, to Saquon. He threw a dime to Saquon on the left sideline early in the game against the Lions. But the reason he did that is because he was looking on the wrong side of the field first. And the zone side was the left side where he should have started, and then he kind of scrambled to that Saquon throw. So you look at things like that, and you're like, dude, there's something off when it comes to his ability to consistently do it at a high level, and that's what you want to see. And hopefully that cohesion with offensive coordinator can help him, you know, bring that out more consistently.
Jason, one thing that is different this year, and I'm not sure if it is totally by design, if it's just kind of the way things have gone, or if they're waiting to do this. And Chris Collinsworth on the broadcast alluded to the idea he thinks they're waiting maybe until later in the season to keep him healthy. He just hasn't run as much as he used to. I mean, you look at some of the numbers, he's averaging about half of the yards per game rushing that he did maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And I know as a quarterback ages, especially ones that can run, this is kind of normal, you know, whether it be Russell Wilson, Cam, like that kind of happens as a quarterback gets to their 20s, upper 20s. But do you think they should run him more? Do you think that should be more part of the game plan to open things up? I think it could help the run game if he is still that threat in the defense's eyes that he will keep it and run the football. Where do you come down on Jalen running, and should he do it more?
Well, so yes. Should he run more? I would say yes, because it does help the offense out. But here's the thing about it is that Jalen is the money man now. That's the thing. Like, so his team, the organization, many people are telling him, hey, you got to stay healthy. And so that's where the tentativeness is coming in is that he's looking at it like, dude, I am my own entity. I got to take care of myself long term. So that begins to creep in your brain. When you're going for the contract, it's a little bit different because you're putting it all on the line. When you have it, you're like, dude, I have the organization on my back and I can't get hurt by just running like haphazardly. So, but yes, do I think it would help open up the offense a lot more if he's a threat again? Yes, I believe that, but I think that he's afraid of being injured, and I think, you know, people in this corner are telling him that.
All right, 215-592-94. Let's take a call here. Jason Avant with us for the lunch hour. Rob and Delco up
Rob.
With the midday show, and Jason Avant. What's up, Rob?
Hey, good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon, Hugh. Good afternoon, Jason.
What's up, man?
Hey, Rob.
Listen, I'm going to make a comparison here to Lane Johnson, and it may be harsh, okay? But this is how I'm feeling now. Every time I'm watching a game, I'm waiting for him to come out 2-3 plays. Who did that remind you of several years ago at left tackle?
Jason Peters, Rob. I feel it. I mean,
only thing I can say to both of y'all, Father Time undefeated.
Yeah, it is.
Father Time undefeated.
Go ahead, let me finish.
I understand, Hugh. It's just like that's what it reminds you of. It's like every time
I got it, but it's undefeated.
I know, for all of us.
My thing is,
apparently, if you listen, Rob from Delco, starting to look for that right tackle, Joe, in the next draft. We got to start looking for that right tackle, Joe. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, Rob, if I had a guess right now, offensive tackle, preferably one that could play guard, you know, in the short term.
Swing guy.
Is probably going to be their first-round pick. I mean,
they've
been rumored for that for a couple of years. The board hasn't fallen that way. They took Quinyon, and, you know, they've taken defensive linemen. But, Rob, I think you're onto something there. Rob, you think this offense is going to get better?
Joe, listen, you know me, I'm Jalen. You know, I think he's number two in the league behind Mahomes right now. But right now, if I'm being honest, my grandmother always said, you know, tell it like it is. You know, I'm worried, Joe. I'm worried because I understand I heard Jason's opening with the offensive coordinator, but I've seen enough. I've seen enough, Joe. He's my scapegoat. I would have made the move during the bye week, Joe, and removed him.
He said to make him
move. I would have. I'm sorry, but this is our window, okay? This is our window for a dynasty, Joe, and I just can't waste it. I mean, I understand our offensive line isn't as good as it was last year, and it does start up front because you need time to throw the ball. You need, I mean, Saquon's getting hit behind the line even before he gets started a lot of the times. I understand all that. But there's just way too much talent here. We can't get rid of quarterback, right, Joe? He makes too much money. Mm-hmm. The running back, the wide receivers, right? Somebody's got to bite the bullet if this does not change. I'm sorry, you know, it's just. This is our shot for a dynasty, Hugh. I mean, you may not agree, but it's just our shot for a dynasty.
I totally agree with that. I agree with that. This is the shot. That's why I think they're kind of going through it.
So when you in regards to Lane, your opening comment, I would always say this is that offensive linemen and Lane's and Landon and all of these guys, they're playing through injuries. It's not something that they are like they're not 100%, but those guys are playing through severe injuries that most people won't even attempt to play through. Right?
Speak on it.
Yeah, they won't even attempt to play through it. So because of this, because they'll come out and Cam Jurgens is hurt, and yeah, he come out looking bad, and now Toth had to go in. So Lane doesn't care about that because of where he is in his career. But the truth of the matter is that we got to appreciate these guys because they're playing through stuff that freaking Landon Dickerson is playing through what Joel Embiid missed the whole season with, right? So he's playing this year. So this is the type of thing that's going on with the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, they're different animals. And they played a lot last year, which, you know, just adds to the wear and tear these guys have. Rob, what do you got for us for two words that go together for the prize?
All right, I'm going to say yin and yang.
That's yin a good and one. Yang is a good one.
Don't they kind of like, is the whole point that they don't go together?
So
the
they're kind of like,
I guess the words go together.
Yeah, two words that are used together. Yeah, I mean, I think it counts. Rob, it's a good phone call. We appreciate it. I mean, the last few have been some of our better answers. Yin and yang, Dallas sucks. Yo, Adrian. Yeah, you like that one. All right, 215-592-9494. You could hop in to be with us with Jason Avant for the air. Jason, the Lane Johnson injury, so it's 4 to 6 weeks as we know right now. In other years, Jason, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago, the last decade or so, that would have been a death knell to this offense. When he came out, they lost. They didn't move the football. He hasn't quite been the same this year. How big of a loss is losing this version of Lane?
Yeah, it's going to hurt us more in the run game than anything because Fred does a good job in pass pro. But when it comes to, we're not going to get the same push on that side. And now, so you have Tyler Steen and Fred on that, big Fred on that side. That's a, you know, we're running left most of the time. So now it gives the defense a heads up on where the ball is going. So we're going to have to be very, like, creative in play action and also running the ball. I like the stuff that they were doing when they came out after halftime when they fake, you know, right pitch to left. We're going to need more of those things. But, yeah, we're not going to get the same running push that we would with Lane Johnson.
All right, on the other side, Jason will stay with us. We're live today from the Roost Pub and Kitchen in downtown Wilmington, part of the Bardea Restaurant Group. We want to get to your phone calls and – we want to play something for Jason. Greg Cosell said what he sees on tape with this offense. Curious if Jason sees it similarly, sees it different. We'll hit that next. Your phone calls. It is the Midday Show as we discuss the Eagles offense on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the number one sports book for same game parlays from points and rebounds to threes and assists. FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same game parlay or track every stat live, all in one easy-to-use app. And right now, it's the perfect time to join because new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You like this song, Hugh?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I like the premise, but no. It's not like, you know, it's a banger.
I never know what I'm going to get when I ask you if you like a song or not. Sometimes you're like, yeah, I love it. Sometimes you're like,
no, it's not a banger. I mean, it's a little melancholy for me a little bit.
Yeah, it is. You know what is a banger? Everything here at the Roost Pub and Kitchen in downtown Wilmington, part of the Bardea Restaurant Group.
Joe.
The food, we go to a lot of places. The food here is incredible.
It's very tasty.
It's not your typical bar food. Like, it's like bar food, but better. I mean, they brought us this bird tower that they serve on Sundays. There's like three layers. So what do we have on top here? The glizzies?
They got the glizzies. They got the meatless thingies.
You got the wings and tenders. Second row is the wings and tenders.
You're kicking ass right now.
No, hey, listen, Kyle, I'm on top of my game.
No one's a better pitch man than Hugh Douglas.
And then we got the sweet potato fries with the mushroom. No, we got the sweet potato fries with the marshmallow dipping sauce.
Yeah.
And we have the salad. They got a little salad on the side. They got some
Greek
salad.
Some
veganism.
You got
going in. Excuse me. What are these again? What are these called? Cheesesteak bao buns? Yeah, cheesesteak bao buns.
We got some
veganism up here too. We got some of that veganism.
Not sure if that is the way it's said, but we'll go with that.
We got some of that. We got about four different sauces up here for the chicken wings.
The sauces are great. Everything here is great. Come on out and hang out with us.
They need to take that salad out. Don't anybody eat no salad on game day.
They need you as a spokesperson here.
Yeah.
There's no better pitch man than you, Douglas.
Hey, Jason, you know, I be nailing them words like a mofo, dog. I got words down. But I got them.
That Marconi Award is ours at some point. I know that. All right. Before we go any further, we'll get back to your phone calls. Jason's with us for the lunch hour. Jason, we want to play this for you and get your take on it. So Greg Cosell has been around the NFL a long time, and he watches film. And we're curious if you see the film and the way the tape similar to Greg Cosell when he's talking about the Eagles offense. Let's hear Greg Cosell this week talking about the Eagles offense and what he sees.
I'm truly confused. I mean,
I'm with you.
I know people want to rip, you know, the coaching staff, and that's fine. But there's no way that Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo don't know route concepts and route combinations. There's no way that they don't know these things. My question is why? Why does this offense essentially look like a high school offense in the pass game with a quarterback that they're almost playing to protect? That's the way it looks on tape. I'm not making a judgment about the talent of Jalen Hurts, you know. There's no judgment here. This is what the tape shows.
Right.
The tape shows a pass game that's very remedial and elementary in its concepts and combinations, and there's no way Nick Sirianni doesn't know these things. Nick Sirianni was in the league for quite a while before he even got to the Eagles he was with Philip Rivers, okay? Mm-hmm. So he knows these things. You know, Kevin Petullo's been in the league long enough. He knows these things too. You know, I talk to coaches in the off season. You know, I've been to training camps. All these coaches know these things, believe me. So I'm truly more surprised and befuddled than anything else. That's the way I feel when I watch the Eagles offensive tape.
All right, Jason, how do you unpack that? Because
that was heavy-handed.
It was, but he's saying it in a way a lot of fans say it. Like the route concepts seem too simple; they're not getting guys open, he's attacking it from like the coaches know this too, and then we're all wondering like why. So, do you see it the same way in terms of the concepts they use, and then what's your interpretation on the why they do this?
Yeah, so me and Greg have worked together for multiple years, so we normally watch the film and see things alike. When it comes to this, it's kind of what I said earlier. When you talk about route combinations, there really isn't. Guys are on one side of the field and they have individual routes. And so they have, you know, two slants, you know, or they have a stop route. They have AJ has a go, but that's AJ's route combinations pretty much the entire time. Same way with Devontae. They run slants when they need to, you know, third and, you know, one to six or whatever it is going to be a slant. If it's a little bit further than that, they're going to run a stop route, and then Jalen will pop it up to him every now and again. And it's all individual route based on the outside. It's basically, day one offense of install. It's your doubles, you know, so you'll have your double go, double slant, you'll have your double stop, you'll have your double out. It's all of those things. It's nothing that has to do with two-man combinations like I was talking about. So, yes, it is very, very basic. And so it could be an indictment on Jalen Hurts. It could not be. It could be something else. But that's what it seems to me. It seems that they're reluctant to open it up and do complex things.
Hugh, when you hear that, how do you rectify that? Because I agree with Jason. I agree with Greg Cosell. These coaches have to know this is too simple, and it's probably not leading to good things, but yet they keep doing it. What's the why?
I don't want to attack the messenger because I think Greg Cosell's been in this game a lot, and he knows what he sees. So I'm not going to poo-poo that. But I am the timing. Like, he's kind of been in this space for a while. So it's not like he hasn't said something similar before.
Right, and it's been like this probably for a while.
Yeah. But I'm looking at, like, and you know, Jason, you've been in this business too. The timing is interesting to me because the team's 8-2, and the heavy-handed delivery is where I'm looking at, like, man. And the fact, coupled with, you know, the reports that, you know, Jalen's kind of a renegade and things of that nature, it just kind of makes you wonder where is all of this coming from, and how valid is it?
It's only it can only go so far, and here and let me bring it back to the game.
Yeah,
when you go to the game, Hugh, it only can work if your players are better than the other players. It doesn't matter what you run if your players are better than the other players.
Yeah,
but Detroit is really, really good in man coverage, and they have a coaching scheme that can figure out stuff. Like, they do a great job on the back end of the defense, and so now it becomes a bigger problem and shines a brighter spotlight when you're going against a team like that can defense it, shut it down. It makes the receivers look like, oh, they lost their one-on-one battles, but you look at it from a whole, you're like, dude, this is way too simple for a team like this. And on the opposite end, they practice against an offense that has all the tricks. So they're looking at this like, dude, this is a fit. This is like a picnic for us. This is so easy to cover in comparison to what we practice against every day. So it only shines a spotlight when you play in teams like Detroit. Like, it won't be this hard against Dallas this week because their defensive backs are not at the level of Detroit.
Jason Avant with us. So, Jason, you mentioned this works when your players are winning, right? One-on-ones, and they're just better.
When they're better.
Yeah, when they're better. So let's unpack one of those players that for years he's just been better than everyone lined up against. That's A.J. Brown. So they threw it to him a lot on Sunday.
Yeah.
He got some catches, but it wasn't explosion. It wasn't, you know, huge efficiency. When you're watching him, and again, this Sunday, I know it's cold and rainy and all that kind of stuff, are you seeing the explosion? Because, Jason, I guess it was this past week because I, you know, the Lions and stuff. So somehow in my algorithm, I saw a clip of AJ's first game as an Eagle. That game in Detroit, 2022, first game of the season. And I know Detroit was a worse team then. That's probably part of what I was seeing. But I'm just seeing him open all game and explosion. He catches a slant and he's running through a guy, running past a guy. From my eye as a fan, he doesn't look as explosive to me. What are you seeing?
You're not going to get that same level of explosion. Well, no. He doesn't look as explosive as when he first got here. But part of that is that defenses know what's coming. So they have a better anticipation of what's happening. Like, there was a time where it was like a 3rd and 6, and AJ was to the boundary, and he was only like a yard past the numbers, and that's not even a slant spit. That's like an out split. But Rocky Asin, the corner, the backup corner for the Lions, literally stepped 2 yards inside AJ. Like, I know the slant's coming right now. Like, so part of that is the guys know what's coming, but also he needs to add to his repertoire. So it's a little bit of both. As you get older, you don't realize that it's a continued education. The stuff that worked when I was 25 doesn't work when I'm 28, 29, because I have to continue my education. So I have to know exactly what the defense is doing, and I have to add more moves to my repertoire. And I don't think AJ is advancing when it comes to adding things to his game. He wins with strength, and he wins with, you know, a 1-2 step, but he needs to add a little bit more to his game. For an example, there was a cover 4, but they pressed it. Cover 4 for the corner, he has to stay on top. AJ Brown did like a move like you would do if a guy was in press coverage, man to man, and he can get beat underneath. That guy's not going for anything underneath because his job is to stay on top, and he wasn't aware of what the defense was giving him. So he has to grow too.
Let's go to the phone lines here. Will in the Northeast up with us and Jason about. What's up, Will?
Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing today?
Will, what's up, pal?
How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Will?
Now, Jay, I want to ask you something because, you know, these guys keep laughing at me. But let me just say this. I was the one that advocated to bring the running back here. When everybody was looking for everybody else all last season, I kept saying, we need to run the ball. You know why? Because the league wasn't ready for it. Because the league got watered down. And that's why Saquon had the type of year that he had, right? Mm-hmm. But guess what? He could have that same type of year. But the whole thing is you got to open up the playbook, right? You got to expand the playbook. You got to activate all the players. But this is what I want to ask you, Jay. They keep laughing at me when I say run the eye formation with Goddard at the fullback position, right? And Saquon in the backfield, right? That opens up so many people. Am I correct? Are you picturing what I'm saying?
I don't know how long Dallas Goddard is going to last doing that. So you got to think about the people that you're asking to do. You're asking for Dallas Goddard to basically essentially lead block. And even if he doesn't lead block, he's in the lead block position, so he's going to get tore up by linebackers that think he's blocking, and that's not the way you want to spend your money for Dallas Goddard.
Okay, but don't that open up a lot as far as the passing, far as the play action, far as everything else? Because it's not necessarily that we have to actually hand the ball to Saquon.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that if you go under center, you can get the same results that you're saying.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be Dallas Goddard that does it. But and at times, can he do it? Yeah, I think there's a time for it. But I don't think that they want – it's sort of like it's a best-use scenario. So because A.J. Brown's our most physical receiver, do I ask him to block the backside defensive end all the time? Yeah, every once in a while. But I'm not going to have him do that all the time because I'm not going to waste my money having him do that when I can have someone else do it.
Okay, two more things real quick. Okay, well, AJ, this is what I say. You're going to be a Wes Welker type of Edelman receiver now. You know what I'm saying? We're going to ding and dunk you, third down plays. You guarantee the body of a lot of the defense, and you could catch that ball. So, listen, man, sometimes we got to get in where we fit in, man. And right now, that's where you're fitting in at. You drawing a double team. The other receivers is getting open, so you're making an impact. And the last thing I want to say, man, the only way we're going to actually activate this offense and have everything running is when everybody is on one accord. We know what we got to do together, man. And we can't do it one person or the quarterback or the receiver. We all got to be in just like we was last year, man. Put the Eagles aside, man. Let the Eagles go and let the talent show. And I'm
I like that, Will. I like. What do you got for your combination of words, Will?
Come on, man. Everyone all over the world celebrate this every year, every day out of the year. How about happy birthday?
Happy birthday is a great answer. Well, that is a good job. And these answers are pretty darn good.
Yeah, they're all right.
You don't like happy birthday is two words to go together?
It's all right.
How is that all right?
It's not, you know.
I mean, it is said every single day.
Yeah, it is.
Every single day.
Will may be the winner.
I mean, if Jason said it,
it feels like a winning answer.
Jason, whatever, dog. I mean, I'm not impressed.
All right, Jason. So Will's bringing some new ideas to the table to try to fix this off. Let me throw this at you. Hugh is a tough customer.
Whatever, dog.
He'll just give you full, honest answers when he doesn't like an answer. All right, what do you think about this? And it's a tricky one because no one wants to take Saquon Barkley off the field. But should Tank Bigsby get some more carries?
Oh, Tank Bigsby, you got.
Hey, no, hold on. Hey, Jason, can I tell you?
He's explosive when he gets the football.
Hey, listen, I've been hearing it all week now. They've been talking about Tank Bigsby.
Jason, let me frame it like this. He gets, let's say he gets 3 or 4 carries a week. Would it hurt to make it 5 or 6?
All right, so hold on. Here's the thing. You're expecting a guy that's pitching a whole game to have the same results as a guy that has to come in and throw one inning. That's what Tank is doing. He's going to throw as hard as he can. He doesn't have to pace himself for the entire game. So you guys are looking at it from a perspective because he's coming in with all his juice and all his energy. Yeah, you put him in that situation that Saquon's in. He's not going to be nearly as productive as Saquon. Do I think that Saquon can hit the hole a little bit more and all of those things? Yes. But I think that we are being a little bit of blindsided about what Tank is. Tank is looking for an opportunity somewhere. He's going to run as hard as he possibly can, but asking him to do it hit after hit, I don't think that he's going to hold up in the same capacity as Saquon.
So that's an interesting way of framing it. How many more weeks of it, though, until you start wondering, is there something to it? Because we keep saying the offensive line, and we all see it, they struggle, right? Saquon's it's tough sledding, the holes aren't opening. Yet when Tank comes in, I think it's like 9 yards a carry since he got here. I mean, if it was 4.5 compared to 4, if it was 6 compared to 5, like, all right, well, whatever. That's not a big deal. 9 yards a carry. I mean, it's just hard to ignore when he comes in. It seems like it's a first down, and then they take him off the field.
Yeah, he's running like he got, you know, rent due. Like, that's the comment that Eagles
said. Rent is due.
That's the way he's running. He's running like he runs straight through safeties. Like, guys don't get blocked. Like, Saquon sometimes, and you can see it on tape, there's times where Saquon can hit it, but he hesitates a little bit. I don't know why. So, I understand the premise. Do I think that Saquon's the better player? That's what I think. Do I think that Tank has done a good job? Yes. Do I think? Yeah. Yes, I do. I do.
All right. We have a caller here, Matt in Germantown. I'm sure you've heard this before. Hugh Douglas likes to recklessly speculate on everything that goes on around here. So now we have a caller, Matt in Germantown, who wants to recklessly speculate. What do you got for us, Matt?
What's cracking? What's up? I got Kyle, my favorite barber. He cut me in line. I appreciate you. Diehard Julio, because you love dying on the hill, what you like. Mm-hmm. We got Hungry Hugh today. We tearing that food up, live and off session. We got Pastor Bach with
Stop
us today.
Stop it, because I ain't even eat no camp.
I hear that. Man, anyway, I like, and Pastor Avant with us on Wednesdays for Bible study, because he seems like the only person positive and brings, like, understanding. So I just got three quick
stop
things.
It. I bring understanding every day, dog. Stop that.
No, you do not.
I do.
You on the defense. You're not the offense. I'm scared. Anyway, so my 3 points real quick. My first point is, we'll start off with the recklessly speculating. I think that they're keeping it vanilla, and Nick Sirianni going to take over for the playoffs. And he's going to shut everybody up about how
he going to do what old boy did for, what's his name?
Dan Campbell. He's going to pull Dan Campbell?
Yeah. Pull a Dan Campbell.
But it's going to make more sense because this leads into my second question for Jason. What, like, pre-tails specifically on opening up the playbook? Like, what does that specifically look like? Because now I'm confused. If we're going out here saying we're going to open the playbook up and we throw in basic out combinations, I'm really, like, kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle. That's a good one.
Like it. I like it. All right, so open up the playbook can be a lot of different things, but there's usually things that coaches want to run, and then there's things that they feel that players can run. And having no limits has to do with your quarterback being able to handle a lot of stuff. And usually what that is there's a lot of motion, there's a lot of crossing, there's a lot of working together in layers with players, right? So you can have two guys running down the field. One goes left, one goes right at 10 and at 12 yards. And you have to be able to read the underneath defenders like in a split second. Like, open up the playbook means like that from every person in the league. Like, having like nuance and creativity to it, but it's hard to read from a quarterback position. So that's what that would mean. Now, being aggressive is something totally different. That's just taking shots down the field. That is, you know, giving your guys a chance and maybe in a second and one, instead of running for a first down, trying to get an explosive play after a big play, can they, you know, throw it down the field again? Like, so there's the two different things. Do I think that we can really open up the playbook? I haven't seen that in multiple years.
Oh, my goodness. My third final point is, what about the quarterbacks coach we recently, like, hired, too? Because I heard that he was really good. I did my little researching over the internet, and you people were saying that, like, he's a really good quarterback, like, understanding, he has a really good offense, and where he came from, I forget what college he was.
He was Bowling Green. He came from Bowling Green.
Bowling Green, yeah.
Yeah, left.
Yeah.
It. Yeah, Scott. So Scott is great at play calling, great at mobile quarterbacks, has succeeded pretty much everywhere that he's gone as either an offensive coordinator and or head coach. He was at Michigan with me, oddly enough. He was the quarterbacks coach when I was at Michigan. So I know him well, and I know how hard he works. So do I believe in his ability? Do I believe he would be in a great offensive coordinator, to tell you that. He would be a great offensive coordinator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, cool.
Petula, he had struggling. I got my new name now. I mean, yeah. I want this guy to call the plays. Matt, what's your answer for us for the two words that go together?
Well, I mean, because Hugh is on a rampage right now. We got to go with the little young millennial Ebonics. He's a Blizzy Gobbler.
Blizzy Gobbler.
You know what? We used to be cool.
We used to be cool.
We ain't
it's
cool.
A good answer today, considering. I mean, you are on a rampage with the Glizzy's last couple days, Hugh. That's
Matt, there's some good little hot dogs, man. That's why I've been breaking them apart.
He had to change his name right there, man.
Listen, being called a Glizzy Gobbler, that ain't cool.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
Did we ever tell Jason about the Glizzy thing or no?
Oh, that I break him apart.
He breaks him apart. He won't eat a hot dog just like a hot dog, Jason.
Oh, you can't go, you know, head long like that. You got
Jason
break,
get it.
I break up bananas, hot dogs, all that.
Oh, you're the same way?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are out of control. Hey. But all right, the Glizzy's here, Jason. Glizzy. There are many Glizzy's.
Matt can't call no more for a couple
No, Matt's a top caller after that. He got you. All right, before we wrap our hour up, Jason, Sunday in Dallas against the Cowboys. It was a game, I would have said 4 weeks ago, blowout. And now I believe the Eagles are going to win the game, but I feel like this might be a little tougher than I anticipated a few weeks ago. Dallas has Quinnen Williams down. They got Overshown back. Mm-hmm. We know they can move the ball, especially at home.
Yeah.
And the Eagles offense not playing great. How do you view this game Sunday, Eagles at Cowboys?
I think the Eagles should win this game. When you look at the game against the Raiders, everyone is, you know, so hyped because they have Quinnen Williams. Now, Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams is a problem. Like, that's a real problem, you know, and they dominate the ball game against the Raiders. But the Raiders really gave up, you know, three just blown coverage touchdowns. One to CeeDee Lamb, a guy didn't cover to cover three. One, two, Ferguson right over the middle. Nobody covered him. And then just missed tackles with the Pickens. Like, so those are not going to happen with the Eagles. Just, you know, not at this stage of the season. So I think the Cowboys have a good offense, right? They're ranked really high when it comes to points per game. But they're equally bad in defending the pass and or the run at times. So I think the Eagles should win this game. If you can go out and play as well as you did against the Lions, who has, you know, certified, you know, pro bowlers on the offensive line, and at the tight end position with LaPorta when he's healthy, and at receiver position. If you can do that against that offense, I think our defense can handle the Cowboys. And they don't have the explosive element outside of Turpin, Kevontae Turpin, that Jameson Williams and Jahmyr Gibbs have. So it's a totally different ballgame. I think our defense can handle it pretty easily.
Well, we have Vic, and if we have Vic Fangio, we're in good shape. Jason, we appreciate it, as always, on with us Wednesdays from 12 to 1. Jason, have a great week weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, gents. Great to
have a good one, man.
There talking to you guys.
Always fun. Always. The Lunch Hour with Jason Avant was brought to you by Walnut Street Smiles at Chestnut Dental Studio, part of the Doodad Dental Group, official dentists of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, we got a lot to do here in our final hour. We have our prize to give away, which is a great one for ComboCon. We'll tell you about the prize coming up, what you could win today, and, of course, you're entered if you win today for the grand prize. Plus, we got to power rank a couple things here in the final hour. Our weekly quarterback power rankings, everyone here at the Roost is excited. I mean, they're just waiting with bated breath for Hugh Douglas's QB rankings.
Living my truth.
Living your truth. Plus, Nick Sirianni responded today to the report by D. Gunn during his presser. You'll hear that. 215-592-9494. We're live today from Roost Pub and Kitchen in downtown Wilmington, part of the Bardea Restaurant Group on Sports Radio 94. WIP.
I know you have heard me talk about my new tailgate drink, the new Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry Whiskey, folks. It's the real deal. It's bold, vibrant blackberry, softened with a creamy vanilla, toasted oak, and just a small hint of honey. It'll be a touchdown at your tailgate when you have one at your tailgate. Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry. Head over to your local fine wine and good spirit stores and pick you up a couple bottles of this Jack Daniel's Blackberry to make your own Jack Daniel's Blackberry Lemonade. And remember, always tailgate responsibly.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.